Here we are on this day of Pentecost. This 50th day after Easter. Pentecost, a Greek word meaning literally 50th. 50 days ago we gathered on Easter Day. And here we are on the day of Pentecost, that 50th day after Easter, bringing to a close this Easter tide, beginning this new season. And on this Pentecost, we heard in the letters in the book of the Acts of the Apostles from that first Pentecost. We heard about that account of how the disciples are gathered in Jerusalem after the ascension of Jesus, how he told them, stay in this city, wait here, wait for the power that is to come upon you from on high. Jesus in John's Gospel had told his disciples at the Last Supper that he would not leave them comfortless, that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, to abide with them, to be his presence with them, be with them always, even to the end of the age. In that Holy Spirit, there is not only the presence of Jesus poured upon them, but they are one by the power of the Spirit. Just as Jesus and the Father are one, so are the disciples, and by extension, so are all of us, one through that power. And so it is that the disciples are gathered together on that 50th day in Jerusalem. It's about 9 in the morning. And there is a tremendous sound, a sound like the rush of violent wind. This is not a gentle event. That wind fills the house, and then divided tongues as of fire rest on each one of them. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in various languages not their own. They speak in languages as the Spirit gives them ability. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish festival. 50 days after Passover, it was a day to remember the giving of the law at Mount Sinai as the people moved through the wilderness. And so Jews from around the globe have gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. And we hear them named in the letter, I keep saying letter, named in the account from Acts. These folks from all over the world are able to hear the apostles speaking in their native tongues, in languages that the apostles themselves do not speak. This sound is heard throughout the city, and Peter goes and speaks to them, and some accuse him of being drunk. That must be the only explanation for what is happening. But Peter says, it's 9 in the morning. We are not drunk. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter quotes the prophet Joel from the Hebrew Scripture from the Old Testament, who has a prophecy which says that old and young, women and men, slave and free, all people will receive the power of God, will receive God's Spirit, and they will be empowered to prophesy, to see visions, to dream dreams. Through the power of the Spirit, they will be able to see the vision of God for God's people. And not only that, but they will be saved. Though terrible things happen, though the moon turn to blood, they will be saved. God will be with them. That first Pentecost shows us how in the power of the Holy Spirit, a community is formed. How people are drawn together. Those first apostles had been a group of people following Jesus, looking to him, following where he would lead, looking to him to give them their instructions. But the Holy Spirit brings them together as a cohesive community, forms them as the church. And then it sends them out into the world to be witnesses to that power of the Spirit, to all that Jesus has done, and to in fact be his presence in the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are formed into a community that takes on for themselves the mission of Jesus. And that Spirit does not know the boundaries of humanity. It does not know boundaries of language and ethnicity. The Spirit is poured upon all people. And everyone can understand the Word of God. The Spirit allows them to know what God is saying to all the people. That reality of that first Pentecost, where people understand languages, understand God in their own language, where the Word of God becomes accessible to them, some say undoes what happened at the Tower of Babel, which we hear about in the book of Genesis. how the people decide that they really are the best thing that's ever happened, and they're going to build this tall tower. They will take charge of their lives and their destinies. Look at the great things they can do. And so they build this tower. And God in Genesis says, if they can do this, God is worried what will be next. And so God divides them by inflicting on them multiple languages so they can't understand each other. And the people who all dwelled in one place, God scatters. On the day of Pentecost, that division is undone. All understand the word of God. And though they may not speak the same language, through the power of the Spirit, they do. Those divisions are done away with. And that need to put ourselves in charge of everything is done away with. We, through the power of the Spirit, are formed as God's people, following Jesus as our head. Some years ago, and I know I've said this before, I told you this story before, but some years ago I had the privilege of making a pilgrimage to the Taizé community in France. An interfaith community founded after World War II. It's a monastic community which is not Roman Catholic, but ecumenical. And that community had as its mission reconciliation. Reconciliation following the horrors of World War II. And they began taking in those who had become orphaned as a result of that war, giving them a place to live in community and caring for them. Their mission has evolved over the decades, but it still remains one of reconciliation, and it has become a center for pilgrimage for people around the world, and most especially for young people. And so I had the privilege of being there for a week that ended on the day of Pentecost. And I remember being in that church, 2,500 of us from around the globe, speaking a multiplicity of languages, not having a whole lot in common. And yet in that church, through the power of the Spirit, we were able to pray together. Now the Taizé community is very intentional in using a multiplicity of languages, but also using Latin, which is no one group's language and allows a kind of common experience, for none of us speak it. And there's a kind of unity in singing in Latin. And so it was that I observed 2,500 people in this church on the day of Pentecost singing together, Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. Singing in Latin with verses of multiple languages woven over and through it. It was a profound experience and showed me that sense that in the event of Pentecost, we as humans in our multiplicity and our multicultural nature are brought together in one and united by the Spirit, can build community and can offer praise to God together. We could live in community for that week, worshiping, taking part in education, and working together. This morning we tried to recreate in a small way that experience by having our first lesson read in multiple languages. I don't know if it did that or not. We don't have necessarily hearers of all those languages. But I think it recreates something of that sense of what happened that morning, of the excitement, and even some of the chaos. But from that emerged unity, that call to be one community, to be gathered through the power of the Holy Spirit and become connected one to another. The lesson we heard this morning ends with the beginning of a sermon that Peter preaches that morning, where he calls on all people to repent. To repent and to be baptized and to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that account in Acts tells us that 3,000 people were baptized that day. On this day, there's that strong connection with baptism. In Luke, writing in Acts, makes that connection that this baptism is of the Holy Spirit, that in receiving the Spirit, you are baptized into the reality, the life of the apostles. You are baptized into a particular life which takes all of its meaning and direction from the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through the Spirit, we are united with Christ forever. And so we are told at the end of that second chapter in Acts that the apostles devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and that they held all things in common, giving each as they had need. They sold their possessions, gave the money that they received for them to the apostles, and then that money was dispersed as any had need. Their lives were radically changed and transformed, and they were built up into a community rooted in the power of the Spirit. So it is that the Holy Spirit forms us as a community, forms us as followers of Jesus. We are called to be His body on earth, the body of Christ in this place, and to do those same works that Jesus did. Through the power of the Spirit, through the waters of baptism, we are incorporated into the household of God and sent out from this place to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, to witness to the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus, to God's call to be united by the Spirit, letting go of boundaries and divisions and forming a holy people. It's no surprise, therefore, that Pentecost is one of those days in the church calendar especially marked for baptisms. For through baptism, the Holy Spirit forms us into the body of Christ, calls us into a new way of life, not mine, not yours, but the life of Jesus, and gives us the grace and power we need to answer that call. The Spirit calls us, the Spirit gives us the gifts we need to answer that call. The Spirit then sends us out, giving us the gifts we need to live as Christ's people in the world, a people who are about the business of building up the community, the body, about reconciliation, about love and mercy. And so, like those first Christians, we are called to live a particular life as the baptized community of faith, the household of God. This morning we don't have any baptisms, but in a few moments we will renew our own baptismal vows. For most of us, those promises made when we were infants. And as we do several times a year, we will reaffirm those promises to live empowered by the Holy Spirit as the household of God. The questions will be asked outline what this life of Christ is, this life to which we are incorporated. We will promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers, words right from our lesson found in Acts. We will promise to persevere in resisting evil, and when we sin and repent, to return to the Lord. We will promise by word and example to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. We will promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself. And we will promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. To each of these promises, the answer is, I will, with God's help. Alone, we cannot do this. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to make those promises. And though we will sometimes fail and fall short, yet we are able to return to the Lord and to reaffirm our intention to keep these promises, to live the way of the Spirit, to live as the body of Christ. For the reality is that Pentecost may seem like a far-ago event that we hear about in Scripture, but the imparting of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. It's not just once in a lifetime. It's not just at the day of Pentecost, that first Pentecost, nor is it just at our baptism. It is ongoing. The Spirit continually is breathing in and through us, and as our psalm says, is renewing the face of the earth. And so on this day of Pentecost, may we reaffirm our promises to live by the power of the Spirit, to claim the gifts of the Spirit for the work of ministry, that we might be God's witnesses even to the ends of the earth, that the Spirit might help us to discern how God is calling us to be Christ's people in this place, in this neighborhood, in this community, that through the power of the Spirit, we may go forth into the world and be agents of God's transformation of a world bitterly divided. That in the power of the Spirit, we as a community may be united in love forever, and that we might go forth and show God's justice and love to all people. I often find that I use so many words in a sermon for things which can be said so clearly in poetry, and that includes the hymns of our hymnal. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes we can sing a hymn and the words might pass over us. I like to close with an excerpt of hymn 516, which we'll sing later in this liturgy. Come down, O love divine, seek through this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing. And so the yearning strong, with which the soul will long, shall far pass the power of human telling. For none can guess its grace, till love create a place wherein the Holy Spirit makes a dwelling. Amen.